So Kairos Patriot, KPA, affectionately known as, Leah's giving tours right after service if you want to check it out. Check it out. All right. How you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Well, you look a lot better than you did when you walked in. Oh, it's a good day. It's a wonderful day. God's done a lot already. Amen. I should just sit down and enjoy it. Amen. Don't say amen to that. But, you know, last week, we in this series, Breaking the Code of the Heart, there is a code. Let me just say this. The Bible is a code book. Amen? The Bible is a code book. And until you get the Spirit that wrote the code, you'll never get the code. You'll be sitting in church, somebody next to you go, "Whee! What, did you see that?" And they go, "What? See what? I didn't see it." See, the Holy Spirit is the author and interpreter of the Scriptures.
Amen.
He can show you exactly with pinpoint, I mean, the two-edged sword, sharp, sharp, sharp. The only thing in the world, the only thing that exists that can separate the soul from the spirit is the Word of God. The only thing that is powerful enough and sharp enough and accurate enough to do that. It's almost like, you know, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, it says that God divided the light from the darkness. He divided it. Now, where does the light begin and the darkness end? Okay. Where does that happen? Well, where does the soul and the spirit? The Word of God divides, and He shows you what is soulish and what is of the spirit. And in your spirit, that is the new creation. That is the creation of God. It is the Spirit of Christ formed in you when you were born again. And your mind wasn't born again. You still have the same thoughts you always had. That needs to be renewed, the Bible says. Your body wasn't born again, was it? Amen. So it's your spirit that was born again, but there is this operation, this organ in your inner man called the heart. And we need to understand it. If you don't understand the heart of a man or a woman, then you're not going to be able to know how it operates, what its function is, what its role is, and how to function properly from your heart. Jesus said that sin comes from the heart. It says that faith in God comes from the heart in Romans chapter 10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Your heart is the governing factor. Your heart is like the ignition system in a car. When you turn it on, it releases everything in that engine, starts the drive shaft, and the whole thing starts going forward. Or backwards if you're in reverse. We like to go forward here. The past is gone. You can't get it back. Tomorrow is yours, and now is the seed time for to change your tomorrows. Last week, we touched on some things. We started talking about the basic things, the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. We talked, there is that doctrinal portion that we need to understand, repentance from dead works, faith towards God. The doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, it says. Then resurrection from the dead, and what's the last one? Starts with an E. Eternal judgment, right? And those are realities. Those principles of the doctrine of Christ, those are the teething rings that we get. And then there's the vital side where we start to grow, and we need more. We want to know God more. The more you know Him, the more you want to know Him. The more light you have, the more light you want. It's just the way we were made. So we have that doctrinal side. Now, repentance from dead works. Remember when you believed all the things in the world that would make you happy if you did this or if you had this or whatever? And then you get born again and you say, man, was I being ripped off? I was being lied to. Well, that you repentance from dead works and those things that you believed in, the things that you did in order to make you happy, didn't really make you happy. What they did is to bring you shame. They brought you disappointment. They brought you heartache. Right? Am I right? Well, God has a better plan for us than all of our big ideas. And, you know, I really thought I had some big ideas when I was in the world. And, you know, pride will do that to you. And before you're born again, you are loaded with pride. I don't care who you are. I was. And, you know, you thought you were being humble, but that's it's not. So repentance from and then faith towards God. See, it's not so important. It's very important that you unplug from this world, but it's really important that you plug in to God and start faith in God. Faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then you grow to the point where you're really walking in the faith of God. It's his faith. And when it's working in us, it gets his results. All of these things enter your heart. Your heart takes these things and it starts igniting these things. And that new creation that you are on the inside starts coming into manifestation in your life. The love of God, the joy, the peace, the endurance or the patience, the kindness, gentleness, goodness, the self-control. One thing that separates us from the animal kingdom is self-control. You guys there this morning?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So self-control, it's powerful. And it's the last of the fruits that's listed, but it is the most important because self-control is required in order to bring to fruition all the other fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you yield to love when you want to hate people. And there's a lot of people that will give you a whole lot of help to hate them. It's about the only way I can put that. You know, and get you out of whatever. There's a whole lot. You need to yield to joy. Yeah. It's already in you. You don't have to ask God, God, give me joy.
Right.
It's in you. Amen. Put it to work. Mm-hmm. You got to decide. These things are decisions. Spiritual things are decisions. And you really got. So we have these doctrinal things. These are the teething rings and so forth. And then you have the other things of God that you really want to get into. And these are the heart issues. This is the solid food. This is where those little doors that opened up through understanding the doctrines of Christ become bigger doors. They become bigger opportunities. They become bigger blessings. They become greater benefits to you. And all the things that God has really vested into the new covenant for you to tap into. It's a covenant. It's a free. The new covenant is the greatest document ever written. And he did it all for you. And it's backed by his life. It's backed by his blood. It is total pure truth. It is pure light. And nothing in that testament is wrong. However, have you ever been stumped by a scripture? I mean, really stumped? If you haven't, well, let me put it this way. If you haven't been stumped by scripture, then you haven't read the Bible. Because it is, well, I mean, I read something that we were saved. And then it says we are being saved. And then it says we will be saved. Well, which is right? Well, they all are if you apply them right. You see, our spirit man, when we were born again, that was, you were sealed, like vacuum sealed. I mean, nothing getting in there. And nothing bad comes out of there. That, your spirit man on the inside was sealed, it says in Ephesians 1:13. It says, after you trusted in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God got his promise in the word. So when you express your faith in him, he seals you up. You are his. You are his. Faith in that blood is a powerful thing. Faith in the risen Christ is a powerful thing. So, yes, your spirit was saved. Your soul is the problem. Yeah. Your soul is in this process called the process of sanctification. That's different. Your spirit was declared righteous. You are made righteous in your spirit, but your soul is in that process of sanctification where it's constantly being renewed, constantly being corrected. I don't know about you. I need correction every day.
Amen.
I mean, probably every hour, probably every minute, probably every second, probably every millisecond. You need correction and correction and correction because the devil is going darts. He's firing them all over the place. As many as he can get out there, he's launching. And you got to know how to deal with it. So really, you need correction, instruction in righteousness from the Word of God. It's why we have the Word of God, to correct us and to bring us into his thoughts, into his desire, the things for him. So those are the things that he really wants to get into us and working into us. But he has to work it into our heart so our heart can take that and turn the engine on of our spirit and get our spirit to manifest these things, these truths. This truth will set you free.
Amen.
So our spirit was saved. Our mind is being saved. Now, when I die, if I die, it looks like the rapture is coming pretty soon. But if I die, I'll be put in the ground. And it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And my body will be saved because I will have a new glorified body. I'm going to have a chest out there. I'm going to have a real narrow little waist and everything. I'm going to, you know, my glorified body will be glorious. So will yours. So will yours. Amen. So your body will, but the thing is, you need to understand your spirit man on the inside was saved when you received Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't done that, let me know. We'll get you done. We'll get you in there. Amen. But your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, that's what makes up your soul. Your soul is in the constant of being saved. And your body, okay, your body will be saved. It'll be a totally new, glorious body. You'll be like Jesus, who walked right through the wall into the upper room and said, "Hi, peace. Peace, guys." Then he said to Thomas, "Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't be doubting, but be believing." Let's live a life of believing. Amen? Heart, heart, heart. All this stuff begins in your heart. I'll talk a little bit today, but let's go into our weekly confession first. Our weekly confession is this word, is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. The Bible is God's word. Once God speaks something, it never changes.
Amen.
Amen. It's perfect, doesn't need any change. Hearing with the heart. We're talking about that today. Breaking the code of the heart, hearing with the heart. Now, how many of you have ever heard the voice of God? Dorothy. Okay, good. There were many people who listened to Jesus when he was speaking, but they didn't believe he was God. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. But they didn't believe that he was God. And Jesus used to say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Right?
Right.
He said that a number of times. I was writing down the number of times he said that in the Gospels. He said it a number of times and in many different ways, but it was usually right after a parable. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, they all had these. They all had ears. But they weren't listening. They weren't listening because their heart was closed. Jesus is here. When you are talking about the Word of God, you are talking about God himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is why his person, his presence is in the Word of God. That's why you cannot read the Word of God without it reading you and discerning. He's the Word of God. He's your intercessor. That Word is coming in to try to figure out how he can help you, how he can strengthen you, how he can get in there and take the things that you need and fill those things. That's what the Word of God does. It's like light shining in the darkness. And people get afraid of that. And they say, wow, this is too heavy for me. I can't. No, just stay there. Let the light in. And you'll see how good it is. That's why he said, oh, taste and see the Lord is good.
Amen.
So let the light shine. Come to him. You know, I wish when I was younger, I wish I knew. I had so many conceptions. But I wish I was honest enough to just say to the Lord, to just sit down with Jesus and just say, Lord, I know I won't be able to do that. I know I won't be able to do that. Teach me. You know, teach me. Just be honest with God. You cannot say too much about being honest and open with God. He knows everything anyway. But don't try to pretend to him that you have faith when you don't. Don't try to pretend that you have strength and that to live up to some standard that you think is his standard, and it's not. Just get with him and get to know him. Spend time with him. Pray. Let him talk to you. Let him correct your thoughts. Get in the Word of God. You know, Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he had a lot of wisdom, and he knew a lot about the heart. You know who his father was?
David.
David had a revelation of God. You know why? When he was a kid, he'd take care of his father's sheep in wherever he was. And he would meditate day and night on the Word of God. And in the very first psalm that he wrote, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Word of the Lord, and in his Word does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. His leaf will not wither, and his fruit will bear season in their time. You know, David spent time in the Word, and he got that revelation right from the Word. The presence of God in that Word built into him a vision of God that no man, devil, beast, no bear, no lion. He was bigger on the inside than because of that Word. Meditating on the Word. Bigger on the inside. Solomon got taught by David. And it's obvious by his life, it's obvious that Solomon didn't have the same revelation. He just was taught. I remember Jehovah's Witnesses used to knock on my door all the time. And one time I told them, I said, you know, you're telling me these things because you were taught. I'm telling you things because I know, and I know him. I know Jesus. He changed my life. So when you stop telling me what you've been taught and start telling me about Jesus and what you know about Jesus, then fine. And you know what? They couldn't tell me too much. It just stopped. They were indoctrinated. That's the way Solomon was. This is the difference between getting personal revelation from the Word and just being taught. We don't want to just be taught. We need teaching, yes, but we need to get into the Word. You know, I would do this too. When I went to, I took courses down at a college near here, biblical study courses. And then for the next 2 or 3 hours, I'd come home and I'd study to see if what they were teaching me was right. And some of it was. Are you there?
Some of it
was. A lot of it wasn't. It was just traditionalistic, crusty, old, dumb religion. And, but anyhow, I was taking these courses because I wanted to just get in there. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll just go right there, guys. And verses 12 and 13 says this, "For the word of God is living," quick, that's what that means. It means the word of God is living and powerful. That word powerful is like the word exousia, which is all authoritative. It's authority. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You ever been cut by a really sharp knife? It hurts, it burns, it stings, doesn't it? "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." Marrow produces blood, and blood is the life of the body, is in the blood. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the" what?
The heart.
The heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says "For that God would sanctify you wholly," or sanctify you completely, "that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," right? The heart. John 3, verse 6 tells us that that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit, right? There's a difference. Our soul and spirit are so integrated, and our spirit and soul are so integrated with that we are one person, but yet we are so three separately different entities in our person, just like God. In his, he calls Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. God is a spirit. We are a spirit. God has a soul. You know, in the Old Testament, you see where God was angry, his anger was kindled. He has emotions. You have emotions. Your soul is made up of your emotions, your mind, your thoughts. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And when you get born again, you can start to understand his ways. When you understand his doctrines, and when you understand the bigger doors that open up once you get your heart full of the Word of God, and revelation starts happening. One thing I've resolved in my walk with the Lord is that if I'm ever going to hear from him, and I have heard the Lord's voice, and I'm starting to hear him on a more regular basis now than ever before, that might be because the time is short. The time is quick, and the things that we need to do and put in place now are important, because we have, these are tight, these are tense times, isn't that not true?
Yes.
If you haven't gotten a raise since last year, only eight, what your pay that covered the whole year last year is only covering 8 months out of the year now because of inflation. I mean, our economy is destroyed. But through tithing and giving and receiving and operating in kingdom principles, you can supersede the natural.
Yes.
And the principles of this world are, that's Babylon.
Yeah.
It's the Babylonian system of get all you can and hold on to it so you don't lose it.
Amen.
Jesus said this in Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you." If you need encouragement from somebody, start encouraging somebody. If you need love, start loving somebody. If you need some peace in your life, start calming others. Start bringing peace to situations. And God will work these things out, and you will receive 30, 60, 100 fold times more than whatever you gave. And finances, that is a very low part of what prosperity really is. But it's a reflection of it, because you'll prosper according to how your soul prospers.
Yes.
Peace, joy, love, peace, joy. Get that stuff working in your mind and quiet your mind. So, you getting anything out of this so far? Hearing with the heart, and you're never going to hear with the heart unless you get really honest with God. Get honest with God. Start saying, Lord, here are, so far, these have been my limitations in my life. I have had anger issues. I don't know how I can get over that. I have had whatever it is, whatever your issue is. I have these things working. Help me walk above those, or help me deal with those. Give me a word. Help me understand. And you know what he'll tell you? He'll tell you, go to my word and do that. And if I want you to know anything else, I'll tell you. But if we don't do his word that he's already written and got it into this earth, if we don't do that, he's not going to tell us anything else. You ever notice that? Because when it's when I do the word, that's when I get revelation. When I hear the word, I don't get revelation. I get faith when I hear the word. But I get revelation when I start doing the word. That's when it starts to come alive. That's when I walk out and say, oh, yeah, that is right. And then you start hearing his voice even clearer. And when you do hear his voice, listen to this. This is really precious. When you do hear his voice, that's when you know he's been there all the time. Yes. Isn't that right?
Yes.
When you hear him so clearly, you say, yeah, he's been there the whole time.
Amen.
He's been there with me the whole time. He never leaves. And when you find that out, then you'll know that he has been talking to you the whole time. You just haven't recognized it. I don't know about you. That's the way it is with me. There are times, you know, that Jesus is trying to walk up to me in a red robe to get my attention. I'm not, yeah. But here's the thing. Let's go to Psalm chapter 131. This is David here too. This is Psalms of Degrees. This is one of the 15 Psalms of Degrees. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Get honest. You know, there are four principles in this. This psalm is only three verses. But it tells you, freedom from arrogance will start to open up your eyes. That's what haughty means, arrogance. Nor mine eyes lofty. That means lofty eyes are the ones who are trying to self-promote. All right? There's nothing wrong with being promoted. God wants to promote you. Right. But he does have a problem with you promoting yourself.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
No, he will promote you as you just get free from pride and start walking in humility. Promotion by delegation, in other words. How's that? Mine eyes are not lofty. Learning from heroes in your life is another one. And there are good and bad role models. When I was a kid, my hero was Mickey Mantle. When I was a kid, I used to go watch him play at Yankee Stadium. My dad brought me down there to a whole bunch of games a year. And we'd watch him. I remember the first time I ever watched him take batting practice. We used to get there early. The old Yankee Stadium. And this guy was a rocket launcher. He wasn't just a home run hitter. The difference between, let's say, Frank Thomas is a great home run hitter. But the difference between Frank Thomas's home runs and Mickey's is when Frank Thomas's home runs were clearing the fence, they were on their way down. When Mickey's was clearing the fence, they were still going up. I mean, just rockets, 500, 550 feet, 540 feet, just amazing blasts. He was my hero. I didn't know anything about his personal life, and he's a bad role model in life, but thank God he got straightened out, and he accepted the Lord and was born again just shortly before he died, like a year before he died or something or whatever. Bobby Richardson, a teammate of his, witnessed to him all the time. Bobby Richardson was a Christian, born again, a man of God, all active in all kinds of things and spreading goodwill throughout New York. And he came to see him when Mickey was really on his deathbed, he says, "Oh, Bobby, I've been meaning to call you. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And Bobby said, "Really? Well, let's talk about that. What would you say if God said, 'Why should I let you into my kingdom?'" He said, "For God so loved Mickey Mantle." He says, "Bobby, my life was a mess, but now I know, and I can see how I missed out with God, and I took him as my Lord and Savior." Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, the thief on the cross, don't ever underestimate the power of a seed that you've sown into somebody's life. I don't know where I'm going with this today, but I hope you're getting something out of it. There's something for everybody here. The thing is, your heart is precious to God. He doesn't speak to you words in these ears. He speaks impressions to your heart. He speaks intuitions to your heart. Impressions that make a dent in your thinking and help you understand things a little more clearly. In intuitions to show you things to come. If I do this, what'll happen? Start thinking about the consequences or the rewards of living the Christian life. You know, storms come to all of us. You know, the thing about the guy who built his house on the sand and it blew apart when the storm came, and then the guy who built it on the rock, it was still standing. Storms come to us all.
Right.
They happen to everybody.
Yes.
There's nobody exempt, especially if you become a Christian. The devil has, you know, he's drawn a bead on you. But you don't have to be afraid of him. Just get out of here. Here, devil.
Amen.
Because he's totally powerless. The only power he has left is deception. Look at the deception that's going on in this world right now. This anti-Semitism and pro-Palestinian. It's a lie. It's a lie. They are supposing something. The format is totally not there. Told you last week. The Palestinian people have only been in existence since 1964. They have no claim on Israel. God gave that to Abraham 4,000 years ago. They're just mad because Ishmael was the firstborn. And they claim that they are the heirs of that land because Ishmael, they're the sons of the Arab. But the thing is, God didn't make that covenant with Abraham, the covenant of circumcision, until after Ishmael was born, and then Isaac came, the son of promise. He is the heir, and his descendants heir. And that is, the Jewish people are the people that God chose to bring Messiah into the world.
Amen.
Then you get Yasser Arafat, who went to the United Nations and demanded that the Palestinians, you know, and what did they know? They don't know anything. The United Nations is the worst. That is the worst failure for world peace that is in existence, right? All they do is exacerbate the problems. They don't help anything. They just bring it all here and then they argue and go away and mad. That's it. We here are pro-Israel because Christianity cannot exist without Israel.
Right.
Israel can exist without Christianity, but we can't exist because that's what brought Messiah, Jesus, into the world. Let me just say this too. God judges the heart. He doesn't judge our actions. You know, that may be hard to believe. I mean, you see people doing these horrendous things, these atrocious things. Do you know that David sinned? I mean, there was a lot of sins that David committed, not just the Bathsheba thing and not just the murder. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes. But God called him a man after his own heart because he knew how to repent. He knew how to, when he saw the truth and was confronted with it, his heart was right with God. And he did everything he could to make sure his heart was right with God. And God called him, "This is a man after my own heart." God called him not guilty of a capital offense. Adultery was a capital offense under the law. So was murder. But yet, he repented. Did you know that under the new covenant, you have even a greater gift in repentance? It's a covenant right that you can repent and be totally free.
Amen. Praise
That's a covenant right. The devil wants to blind you from that. He wants to keep you wallowing in your guilt, wallowing in the past. That's where he wants you connected to that thing in the past. No, the blood has broken that thing apart.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has destroyed it. It doesn't, this is what Paul, I've said this. Paul could not get, he was talking to the Lord one time when he was in prison. And he said, Lord, that I have hurt your people. So, and he was really, the thing was bothering him that he had all those people murdered. Saul of Tarsus, when he was Saul. And the Lord never even acknowledged what he was talking. Because to God, it didn't even exist. Paul was talking about something that had no existence any longer. So Paul was getting that truth into him. If it doesn't exist with me, don't concern yourself with it. What is under the blood is under the blood.
Yes.
Hear that with your heart.
Amen.
Know that in your heart, that in your heart of hearts, know that God has forgiven all of your sins.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Past, present, future. That's not your job, is to monitor your sins. What kind of a life is that? That's being under the law. But when you fellowship with God and love God and just walk with him and know
Amen.
That God loves me.
Amen.
How about it? God loves me.
Amen.
I mean, what greater truth is there in any life than that? God loves me.
Amen.
He loves me. And he's my dad. Jesus is my brother.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is my mama. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I think I'll just close here. I had a really nice message for you, but it seems like God just had another direction to go in today. God is a good God. God is a good God. Say that. God, you are good. You have been so good to me. You have been so good to me. Amen. Father, we close this service today by taking your word with us today. And we ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance everything that was of you in this service, the healing, the prayers, the precious moments that we have seen something that we never saw before. Bring those to our remembrance. We ask in Jesus' name. Lord, as we fellowship and meet new people and go through our week, our business week, into our duties and responsibilities, Lord, we just take you with us. And we are a package of love. We are a package of joy. We are a package of peace waiting to go somewhere and happen. Thank you, Father, for your presence in us. In Jesus' name. If you have a need for any more prayer, come forward. Our altar ministers will take care of you. You are dismissed. We have refreshments. Please join us.